Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Robert Spencer of JihadWatch.com, and we're going to get a jihad update. Robert, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, so good to be here always. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, now, there was a recent headline just within the last week or so that said that Islam is supposedly going to overtake Christianity as the most popular religion in the world. I'm sure you saw that headline and read the article. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, you know, demographically, it looks like that is likely to happen before the end of this century. And there's one very good reason for that. It's not because Islam is so compelling and that people are converting in large numbers. It is that the Muslims have polygamy. And so you have people with 15, 20, 25 children. It's not all that uncommon in places like Saudi Arabia and elsewhere where Islamic law is strictly enforced. Polygamy is taken for granted. And so multiple children is also something taken for granted. The thing about it is, though, that Islam also has a death penalty for leaving Islam, for apostasy. And that means that it's never really as big or strong as it seems to be. The numbers are there, and they may well have nominally more people than Christianity before the end of the century. But at the same time, there are many, many, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, of people who are identified as Muslim, who have no regard for it. As a matter of fact, many of them are secretly Christian, and they are not part of Islam at all, but they don't announce this publicly because if they do, they'd be killed.
What is your basis for saying that, that they're secretly Christian?
Well, I've actually heard this from converts to Christianity from Islam, from the Middle East. I wrote a book many years ago with one of them who was a convert to Christianity from Islam from Iraq. He grew up in Iraqi Kurdistan, and he told me that he thought there were about 750,000 secret Christians in the Islamic world. There was also a very noteworthy Al Jazeera interview that was only, interestingly enough, on Al Jazeera Arabic. It was never translated, but it was a discussion between a couple of sheikhs who were very concerned because they were saying that 5,000 Muslims every day we're converting to Christianity. And so this is something that at least some Muslims are very concerned about as well, which also indicates that, something has happened.
And I've heard, and this is my source on this, is some of the leaders within Evangelism Explosion, which is a worldwide evangelistic organization founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, the founder of this radio station, by the way. But anyway, they said that in Indonesia, which is the world's largest Muslim country, that the religious makeup has shifted in favor of Christianity. In other words, many Muslims becoming believers in Jesus Christ to the point that they do not even take religious censuses in Indonesia anymore because of that embarrassing fact. I've never independently verified that, but I don't know if you're familiar at all with Indonesia and what's happening there religiously.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am in touch with some Indonesian Christians, and they have told me very similar things. The thing is, there really isn't any way to verify these things with certainty because of the nature of the case. You're talking about people who are living under a threat of death, and if they publicly identify themselves as converts away from Islam to Christianity. And so it's something that they're just not necessarily going to be upfront about. And so we know something is happening, but the extent of it cannot really be reliably estimated.
Okay, now sometimes the statement is made that Islam is the fastest growing religion in America. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I hear that I've heard that. As a matter of fact, back in 2002, my very first book was entitled Islam Unveiled Disturbing Questions About the World's Fastest Growing Faith. That was based on information that I had at the time that other people have actually since disputed. And in America, I've seen reports that Mormonism is growing more quickly, but certainly Islam is growing very quickly. Here again, it's not because of its compelling power, although there are converts. And one of the key failings of the church, one of the key failings of Christians in the United States, is that while Islamic groups are making an all-out concerted effort to proselytize and to convert young Christians to Islam, and some of the leading jihadis, as a matter of fact, Adam Gadan, who was very high up in Al-Qaeda, and John Walker Lind, who was found in Afghanistan fighting alongside Al-Qaeda and the Taliban against American troops, are converts from Christianity to Islam. The church, none of the churches, that, to my knowledge, are making any effort to counter that or to equip young people to be able to counter Islamic proselytizing. And so if they're exposed to it all too often, they fall for it because they just don't have any answer to it. They're not prepared to deal with it. And this is a very big problem that's going to grow. But this growing population in the United States is still mostly, Jerry, because of immigration, because of the fact that the Obama administration, for example, brought in at least 1 million Muslims into the country while Obama was president. And these are immigrants from all over, some among whom, of course, are some Islamic jihadis. There were 6 Muslim migrants who committed terror attacks in the United States during 2016 alone. And so we're going to see more of that. But this is why the population is growing.
What about the population of Muslims making converts in American prisons?
That also is a big concern. And this is where, you know, you really got to wonder, how is it that American officials have been asleep at the wheel for so long? There is a man, Abdurrahman Alamoudi. He is currently in prison for financing Al-Qaeda. And he was, in the 90s, a leading Muslim leader, one of the most prominent Muslim leaders in the United States. He met with Bill Clinton. He met with George W. Bush. He was very powerful and influential. And his group, a group he founded for a long time, was the only group that had the authority to vet Muslim chaplains for the U.S. prison system. Now, you got to wonder, what is that all about, that somebody like that would be given that kind of power and authority? I mean, obviously, they didn't know that he was financing Al-Qaeda at the time, but these arrangements remained in place for a considerable time afterward. And this is just ridiculous. You have groups with links to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood that are vetting chaplains for the military and for the prison system. And no good can ultimately come out of that.
You mean even vetting Christian chaplains? No. You mean just
vetting
the Muslims?
The Muslim chaplains.
Oh, okay.
So
all
you
right.
have these guys who have... Yeah. Who are not moderates, who are not peaceful, who are not at all people who ought to be having access to the prisons, and they're going into the prisons. They're not only converting people to Islam, but they're converting them to the idea that jihad is something that is going to bring them benefits, going to bring them blessings from Allah, channeling the violence and aggression that all too many prisoners have into a form where it's blessed, where it's considered to be something that is good and to be rewarded. And they don't stop being violent and aggressive. They're just told that it's a good thing.
All right. Right now, as we record this, the issue where President Trump has tried to get a temporary ban so that there can be genuine vetting from people coming from 7 Muslim-dominant nations, and that includes Iran. And you, one of your, I think your latest book deals with the threat of Islam, which is, specifically the threat of Iranians, you know, as the number one exporter of terrorism. But what are your thoughts on this temporary ban and the way it's been handled by the media and, let's say, by Hollywood types, you know? It's unbelievable. You know, it's like, are we talking about the same country and the same problems here? What's going on?
Yeah, it's really incredible, Jerry. The hysteria over this is astonishing, that what we have is an attempt to protect the United States from jihadis, and it is treated as if it's the second coming of Nazi Germany. And people talking just today, as a matter of fact, I put up at Jihad Watch a story about a young man at the University of California, San Diego, who put up fake posters saying that Muslims in the area had to report to internment camps. And all these people, of course, were horrified and angry and upset about this. And the fact is that nobody's really actually suggesting such a thing. Nobody is saying that Muslims ought to be interned in camps. There is absolutely no substance to this, but it's just one aspect of the hysteria that is enveloping the left in its response to the Trump administration. In reality, the ban is much needed. You have this kind of a choice. It's a very simple choice. You have either that you allow in Muslims who are, among whom will be some Islamic jihadis, as has already been established. All of the attackers in Paris in November 2015 who killed 130 people were refugees who had just come into Europe. You're either going to allow jihadis in with the peaceful refugees, or you're going to keep some legitimate refugees out. There is no other choice. It's one or the other. Now, all this time, we have been saying we're letting in all these refugees, and there are going to be some Islamic jihadis there, but the Obama administration never seems to care about that and scolded people who did. And Obama famously said, the Republicans who oppose this are afraid of women and children. And in reality, they were talking about a real terror threat. Tashfeen Malik, one of the San Bernardino shooters who killed 15 people at a Christmas party in December 2015, was a refugee who had actually passed five separate background checks from five different U.S. agencies. So there's a real concern, but it's being dismissed. The thing is, you cannot possibly do anything else but either keep out some people who are perfectly reasonable people or let in some people who are jihadis. Trump is trying to protect us from jihadis. It's a hard choice, and it is going to inconvenience some people. But it's either that or seeing Americans get killed.
The judge in Washington State, I understand, said something that was actually wrong. He said, look, there's no example from the seven nations, you know, where somebody has come in to try and do us harm. I forgot exactly how he worded it, but reports surface after the man's statement within a week saying, no, there's actually more than 70 specific examples of nefarious, you know, people from these seven different nations who want to do us harm.
Yes, it was really quite astonishing. The left, in its response to this, is just completely running contrary to fact. As you say, there were 72 jihadis from these seven nations, and so it was perfectly reasonable to ban them. And then you have this judge saying that there wasn't anything, wasn't any. And not only that, but the same judge but the appeals court, when they ruled against the Trump ban, they said that they didn't actually address the key element that they should have addressed. The fact is, Jerry, that there is a very clear law that says that the president, whenever he thinks there is a security threat from any group of refugees, can ban this group under any circumstances. It's a very wide-ranging law. And that law is the law under which Trump was operating when he initially enacted the ban. And yet the appeals court, in striking down the ban, never even mentioned this law. You might expect that they would have said, this law does not apply in this case because, and explained it. They just ignored this law altogether. That's just, as it used to be said about abortion, this is just raw judicial power. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the rule of law. Mm-hmm. It was not a legitimate exercise of the judiciary. And this is something also that is going to have to be addressed. Because it's just plainly abusive. Justices, these judges are acting as if they have dictatorial power in the United States, and they do not by law.
And it is disturbing to see, though, also the backlash against Trump from, you know, people, activists, Hollywood types. In New York City, didn't they have in Times Square, there was a big, you know, pro-Muslim march or something like that, you know, and they were all shouting Allahu Akbar.
Yes, yes, exactly. You got to think, you know, what would they have said if somebody got up there and tried to pray the Lord's Prayer? They would have been outraged. But Allahu Akbar, that people scream when they're murdering people, they were reverently silent.
That's amazing. What's the name of your book on Iran specifically?
The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran.
Okay, and all your books and all the information and what you write is all available at jihadwatch.com. jihadwatch.org. Robert Spencer, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.